And do we have Herman Cain on the line with us?
You do.
Sure do. How are you, Ann?
I'm real good, Herman Cain. I'm glad that you were able to make time to give us a call this afternoon.
It's my pleasure. I'm happy to do it. Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Absolutely. You know, I was reading over your background bio. My goodness, you're a national talk show host right there on WSB in Atlanta.
Right.
You're a Fox News Channel contributor.
Yes.
You were a presidential candidate, famous for your 999 program. Chairman and CEO of Godfather Pizza, where you taught them that you will survive. And I love on your show that you use the term news nuggets.
Love it. That's
love it.
Right,
absolutely.
Because there's so much news happening out there today, and people are busy with their lives, as you know. They don't have time to scour through a lot of the stuff that you and I look at in order to be able to do a show every day. So I try to give people a flavor, an unedited flavor of what's going on, just so they will have a good sense of what's going on. Because, as you know, Ann, one of the biggest problems we face in this country is ignorance, cluelessness of what's going on.
Exactly.
And the only way we're going to change that is you and I and others are going to have to educate the people. But thank you very much for that. And then when you were talking about the different things that I've done, I counted up one day that I've had 9 careers in my career. Now, some people would say, well, you can't keep a job. Well, it's that every job that I did so well that they promoted me to another job. And so it just goes to show that times are different, things are different, and if people are open to opportunities unfolding, you never know where you're going to end up.
Well, you know, I think you're so right on that, Herman Cain. And I actually was reading over your bio, and do you know that Greenwood, South Carolina, and where you went to school at Morehouse College have something in common?
Greenville?
Greenwood, South Carolina, and Morehouse College. Benjamin Mays was the president of Morehouse College. In fact, I believe he retired the year you graduated.
You are absolutely right. And wasn't Greenwood near a little town called 96, South Carolina?
Yep, absolutely.
We do have that in common, and you're right. One of the things that I'm most proud of is that I was a student at Morehouse for 4 years during President Mays's last 4 years as president of Morehouse, and you're right. I was in the 100th graduating class of Morehouse College. Dr. Mays retired that year, and that was the first year that he also was commencement speaker. So I got a double dose of inspiration.
What did you think of Benjamin Mays?
Benjamin Mays was a scholar. He was a gentleman. He was a leader. He was an educator. And he also was something that is a term that is overused today because it's not always applied in the right context. He was a role model. Mm-hmm. When I talk about people that inspired me in my life, he is one of the top three. Number one was my dad. Number two was my high school math teacher, Mr. Charles Johnson. And number three was Dr. Benjamin E. Mays. So he was one of the people that inspired me to have these 9 adventures in my life because he basically taught me never be afraid of something that's challenging. Never be afraid to go into the unknown.
Well, we actually have the Benjamin Mays house here now, his home place where he grew up. They have a small cotton field built. And everything right here in Greenwood, and they are currently, you might be interested to know, trying to rename a section of the road for Benjamin Mays.
That is fantastic.
It is fantastic.
Very well deserved.
And I thought that was just, I started reading this and I said, 1967, when did Benjamin Mays retire?
And it was the year I graduated, and it was 100 years after Morehouse College got started. You connected the dots, Ann.
Absolutely. So, you know, I wanted to talk to you about the fact, you know, we were doing a little research, and we found that there's only really been two presidents that were business people.
Yes.
Jimmy Carter and Harry Truman.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you were a you are a businessman, and you know, as we look at what's happening in our government, it's almost like the dikes are flooding out there with
yes.
fundraising with Sebelius, the IRS, the Department of Justice, Benghazi. It's like almost like the system is beginning to implode.
Here is what's happening. Jimmy Carter was a businessman, but he was not a leader.
Exactly.
The business that he had and that he ran, it was the type of business that was simple enough that it almost ran itself. So that made him look good from the standpoint of a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Leaders require some different skills. And when Jimmy Carter became president, he did not have those leadership skills. And it was obvious. In today's environment, we have a president that also does not have leadership skills. And a lot of Obama supporters get upset when I say that, and that's because they are in denial. And they are in denial that this economy is not growing the way it could. They're in denial about the unemployment rate. They're in denial that the national debt has skyrocketed under Obama's administration. And they are simply in denial of all of the broken promises made by President Obama. And now we get these quote-unquote scandals. I don't consider the IRS situation a scandal. It is abuse. There's already enough evidence, just based upon what we've learned in the past couple of days, that shows that they have been abusive. It didn't just start. It's been going on for quite some time, but it has been accentuated and it has been increased during the last 4 years, and we just now saw some of the evidence that came out, admittedly, by some officials within the IRS agency itself. And so the difference that I think you've seen over the years is that the presidents that have been leaders are the ones that have been more successful at guiding this country than just those that had been businessmen.
Well, I guess my point was Herman, that don't you think at this point we need leaders, but we need some people with some business acumen that can go in there and start cutting out the dead weight?
Yes, yes, yes. I absolutely agree with you. From that standpoint, I absolutely agree. And that's what's missing. In fact, that's one of the things, Ann, that prompted me to even consider running for president, other than I had a temporary moment of insanity and when I decided to do it. But that was one of the reasons, because I kept looking at the situation, like many people, and you'll say, where's the common sense? No common sense, common business sense was being applied. You're absolutely right.
You know, Roger Milliken, of course, is very famous for his business abilities and this type of thing. And I was reading over some of his past biographies, and one of the things that he did, he actually fired the president of this one plant. And you know why he fired him?
Why?
Because he had kept the same man in the same job for 15 years, and the quality control was the position that he had, and quality control was never up to snuff. So instead
wow.
of hiring, instead of firing the man who was doing the job, he fired the president for not getting rid of the problem.
Because it was the president's job.
Exactly.
And think about that magnified on a scale as big as this country and all of the different pieces that you have to deal with. Think about it. It is a massive leadership job, but it is also a massive job in terms of making tough business decisions.
And so I guess my question is, Herman, what are we going to do? I mean, back after the election, everybody said, well, conservative talk show hosts aren't going to have a lot to talk about. It's going to be kind of quiet. There's not going to be much happening. People are disinterested in politics and everything. And then you look at what's happening. What are we going to do?
How is that not having enough to talk about working out for you now?
That's what I meant.
The Newsday, you know, my executive producer and I were kiddingly saying, you know, this is the gift that keeps on giving. Good grief. Here's what we're going to do, Ann, and here's what I would encourage your listeners to do. Number one, don't lose faith. It's going to take the faith of the faithful, the faith of the faithful conservatives in this country, in order to be able to change things. Number two, 6 million conservatives stayed home in the last election because I get comments like you do, like they didn't like the Republican candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, does that mean you like the Democrat candidate? That's what it turned out to be.
Yep.
So keep the faithful have to keep the faith. And secondly, we need to start looking at how we take control of the United States Senate and keep control of the House in 2014. I know people are frustrated, but this is not a sprint. It's a marathon. People need to start, number one, by looking at your two senators and your U.S. representative. Monitor what they do. Monitor how they vote. Read the articles of things that they say, such that by the time election time comes around next November, we won't send 90% of them back to the United States Congress. That's what the problem is, Ann. We send 90% of them back, and the 90% that goes back to the United States Congress continues, they continue business as usual. That's what we need to focus on doing.
Well, you know, Herman, this is South Carolina, so we have that Republican contingency going on here. They were freshmen the last time around. They're really, I think, in Congress, they're doing a good job. Of course,
yes.
I'm sure you know Tim Scott, who just became senator.
Yes.
Yes. And then, of course, we have Lindsey Graham.
Yes.
So what do you think about South Carolina?
You all have some strong people that are looking out for the people. And I can't say that about all of the people that are there. And so if you have someone that you believe that they're doing a good job, help send them back. If you have someone that you don't believe, like in some of the congressional districts, that you don't believe that they're doing a good job, send them home. That's what people need to be focusing on right now. Now, you're not going to be able to stop President Obama, but if we get control of the House and the Senate, we'll be able to slow him down for two more years.
You know, one of the things that, speaking of congressional people and everything, what I just need to ask you, what did you think about Governor Mark Sanford regaining his seat in Congress? What did you think about that?
I think that that was a good thing. Number one, because he has experience, and sometimes that's good, and I happen to know him well enough to know that he is not going back to continue business as usual. Secondly,
what business as usual are you talking about, Herman?
Well, I'm talking about political business as usual. He's not going back to do political business as usual. And secondly, you know, it is unfortunate what happened in his personal life from the standpoint of his ex-wife, his family, and mm-hmm. kids, and himself. But, you know, sometimes people need to separate a person's personal life from the job that they're trying to do. He was never found guilty of anything wrong or unlawful. And so, personally, whether I knew him or not, I believe people should be given a second opportunity as long as you haven't broken the law and done anything like that. And so I think favorably upon the fact that he was reelected by the people of his district.
Well, now that leads me to a question I'm going to ask you. What about you? Are you going to go back into politics?
I will take the fifth. I will take the fifth. Here's the situation, Ann.
Yes.
Based upon what I know today, the answer is no. But when I say that, things change. When I made the decision to run for president the first time, it wasn't something that I had planned all my life.
Mm-hmm.
When I ran for the United States Senate in 2004, that wasn't something that I had planned. The motivation for me to run for the United States Senate in 2004 and the motivation for me to run for president in 2011, the motivation was the same. I wanted to do something to help get this country on the right track. I didn't get into the power position that I wanted to get into, but that's what motivated me to try. And if there's one message I would say to everybody out there, you don't have to try by running for office. But you can try by keeping the faith, You can try by taking a closer look at the people that represent you. You can try by putting pressure on the people in Washington, D.C., because I happen to believe that that is the way. And I'll close with this. Remember the Founding Fathers when they conceived and wrote the Declaration of Independence? And I had to remind one of my listeners about this today when he calls up arrogantly reminding me that Obamacare is the law of the land. I said, you know, you're right. It is the law of the land, despite the fact that they're trying to shove the implementation down our throats, just like they shoved the legislation down our throats. Remember that paragraph in the Declaration of Independence right after life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it says, when any form of government becomes destructive of those three ideals, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish. We can always alter or abolish Obamacare if we keep the faith.
Absolutely. Herman Cain, it certainly has been a pleasure to have you on the air. I would like to talk to you off air for just a second, so if you can just stay on the line with me, we're going to go to a break. We have been talking to Herman Cain, a real inspiration, and I tell you what, a graduate of Morehouse College when Benjamin Mays was there, our connection to Greenwood. Thank you so much, Herman. Stay on the air with me for just a second.
I'll be right here.
All right.